Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking ruck rankings. It is ranking season finally here. We're getting into the rucks. We thought we'd just ease our way into it. It's nice and probably the easiest to rank.
Definitely the easiest to rank.
Not a hell of a lot of them, so just going to go through it with our Dream Team Super Coach. And for all you keeper fans out there, we've got some keeper rucks you might be interested in.
Well, I'm interested in the Statesman's formula. This sounds more like
a beautiful mind is writing on glass windows now.
Well, there's a flux capacitor involved.
But also, we've been doing the Big Bash Fantasy League this year with the Draft Doctors, and old Statesman's, he's out in front at the moment, but
he's flexing. He's on our Skype. He's flexing.
But we know come
he's
final
he's pulled time, the guns
he's,
out.
He's going to choke.
That's his joke. That is his MO.
That is. But Steve, you know nothing about cricket yet. You're doing quite well.
Well, I feel like I'm that. You know, Jono, there's always a team who gets shafted, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to play the victim card.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sitting third in total points. Fair to say I've had a pretty tough run of opponents because I reckon my opponents would be ranked about 100th overall when you tally up their score. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I'm sitting six on the ladder.
I thought you were fifth.
Six.
Oh, no, you dropped to six.
I should win this week.
Who are you playing, Statesman? Or was that last week?
No, that was last week.
Nah, should win this week.
If I win this week and you lose, then...
I won't lose because I've got...
I understand it. I'm just saying if you lose this week, if you win this week, it's curtains for the Fizz Man. But if you lose, then it's on me. Then it's a deciding game for who finishes fourth.
Well, there's one more round to go, so...
I understand that. I'm just... But do you want to hear from the
Statesman?
The man flexing?
Can I just take this earmuffs off for a second?
Oh, it does.
Look at his face. Look at that. Like a happy father.
But this is the problem. The Statesman... We're in the chat, and I was bitching because all my players got taken out for the one-day team. Statesman goes, oh, well, we all saw that coming. No, he didn't!
Have at it.
G'day, Steve. Gentlemen. Lovely to hear. Well, I will say John Holland was a magnificent pick for round one BBL, Steve. That was an absolute classic.
He's still in Jono's team.
Yeah, I brought him in. I brought him in so I can get my 113.
It's generally a good idea before you pick your team round one to have a look at team selections. That's hugely important. How many games he played so far, Jono?
Holland. Zilch. Yeah.
Silts, yeah. I will say I'm sitting around the top 200 in that competition, but I have struggled on the captaincy issue. I've given the kiss of death. Besides last round, which was Piera, who couldn't take a wicket to win the game for the Renegades, that one more wicket would have put me, I think, in the top 140, but I've given the kiss of death for the captain. So besides last round, every single round, my captain has got injured, including Dwayne Bravo halfway through game one of two games. He was my captain. So Dre as well, Andre, got injured. So I've had a bit of fun with that. But look, it's going well, the competition. Thanks for everyone that got involved. As the guys know, just like we got Big Cox did last year, I'll cruise the way through the home and away round, sit on top, and someone will get injured and I'll lose the grand final. Or Steve will say I choked. But
you can only
yes, I am looking forward tonight to a rucking good time.
Hey, I believe we have some reviews and...
Yeah, we had another great review from... I love this review from our mate, Tom. 33546-78,
Charlie.
No, it's Big Tom. Big Tom. Great pod. Love the SC content.
SC.
SC, repping. And that was it. Very short and sweet. No, but we really appreciate... Everyone dropping us an iTunes review really helps the show, as we say, every week. And it doesn't take long. It takes even less time if you just leave a short one like Tom.
Absolutely.
But we still appreciate it.
Yep. And we're happy to read it out on air.
And I'm quite happy to say that I've been involved now for 4 months, I think it is, and that's the first time I've ever heard a compliment any ever refer to anything Jono's done.
Hey. And rightly
I get lucky.
So.
Lucky.
Once that's, a year. Hey, you throw darts, something's going to stick.
But a bit of news coming out over the weekend. Matt Jack Doyle has gone in, had a knee surgery, but only out for 2 months. So for those who thought Toddy Goldstein's just going to rocket up the rankings board, forget about it, because Matt Jack will be back.
I haven't changed him at all. That doesn't change anything for me.
No, it doesn't change anything for me either. And there was another... Oh, Andrew Phillips is, for Carlton fans, he's out with a stress reaction.
Are they out in force?
Sorry?
Are they out in force?
I don't know.
I saw Vince Colosimo got arrested. Yeah. They're probably sad about that.
Him and Nolsey?
That was just... There's comedians across Melbourne prepping for their Melbourne comedy festival shows just going, oh my God,
comedy gold.
There's my 45 minutes right there.
Pretty much. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter where we are at The Draft Doctors, or you can follow The Statesman, who is Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, search in The Draft Doctors there. Or if you'd like to shoot us an email, head over just to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. And very shortly, The Draft Doctors website will be coming. We've got some articles ready to go, and we'll see that in the next week or so, I'd imagine.
So you say that, but do we trust you?
No, probably not.
There's a lot of articles ready to go.
There is a lot of articles ready to go.
I put out an article on the Blogspot today. Dozendeals.blogspot.com. You know, just check it out.
The glossary.
It was funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the listeners what that was?
Yeah, it was just a little glossary. Just a fun piece. Tweeted it out and put it on the Facebook. About some of the terms you hear thrown around during the draft season, Jono. Terms like an auction draft.
That is something I'd like to get involved in one day.
Which allows, you know, participants to combine their drafting skills with their terrible money management skills.
Sounds like just ideal.
Fantastic.
Just some fun things like that.
Excellent. So if you do want to check it out, head over to a dozen deals at .blogspot, was it?
Yeah. Something like that. I tweeted it and put it on Facebook. You can find it.
Yeah.
People know what they're doing.
All right. We're talking rack rankings today. So the way it's going to work is... Steve's done the Dream Team, I've done Supercoach, and Statesman has come up with some keeper rankings for the upcoming seasons and teams with ruck committees. Can you want to elaborate on that a little bit, Steve?
Yeah, it's we know there's teams that play the solo rucks.
Yep.
Your Melbournes, for instance, with Maxi Gawn rocking out the number one spot. And not a, you know, what you'd call a traditional ruck forward. I guess they've used Cam Pedersen from time to time in the past. Yeah, sort of like your Geelong situation where you've got Zach Smith and Reece Stanley. And
they can switch for,
well, yeah, well, no longer, apparently.
No.
He's on welfare, according to him. So, yeah, they can play ruck, they can play forward and split the time in the middle. And it's not great. The time on ground's not good. Fantastic.
No.
They're not around the ball all the time. And they generally don't provide you with the scores that the solo rucks like the Max Gawns, the Grundys, etc., can provide you.
Excellent. So, Steve, do you want to kick us off with your Dream Team ruck rankings?
Yeah, no worries. I'm going to break this down into tiers, Jono, just for the listeners. We always recommend drafting in tiers. So at number one, I've got Max Gawn. Pretty obvious choice, you would have thought, especially with the fantastic second half of the year he had. 22 games, averaged 106. Finished in the top five rucks for the week 16 times.
Excellent.
So that's 16 out of 22 is not bad. Obviously, he has a bye, so he can't do it a 23rd time.
And didn't play finals.
Pretty easy going in there. Obviously, there's no competition for him. Number two, Brody Grundy. We all like Brody Grundy for Dream Team especially. 21 games, missed the first game when they went with Wits.
Yep.
Averaged 101 last year, finished in the top five for rucks on a week-to-week basis 14 times, which is second best.
Yep.
Fantastic season, obviously a player on the rise. Very very possession-reliant. Doesn't get a lot of hit-outs, but maybe as he gets a bit stronger, that can increase. And quite by all accounts, he's getting fitter and stronger. I mean, the preseason
tearing up the track.
If you're a female Collingwood fan, you'd
or male,
find out where he was. Or man,
we don't discriminate here on the Draft Doctors.
Well, we don't. But I'm not. It's Brody swing that way. That's the.
I don't know.
He wears glasses and a man bun. Maybe he does. I'm not judging. At number three, I got Toddy Goldstein. I still have him in the top tier. That's Toddy Goldstein's my last top tier player. Played 21 games, averaged 96, finished in the top five rucks on a week-to-week basis 11 times, which is still great. We know it tailed away in the second half of the year, potentially carrying an injury. I think the third man up rule is going to help his average. I mean, it should help Gawn's average as well.
Yeah.
But I feel pretty comfortable.
Whose would it hurt?
Well, I think it could hurt the guys like Steph Martin and Brody Grundy, who aren't particularly reliant on hitouts to
get their score,
factor their scoring. Like, you think about it, if Grundy and Martin are going up against, say, a pure hit-out ruckman like Mumford and Sanderlands, right, they're going to lose more of these hit-outs.
Mm.
And maybe even against Hawthorn, who are a pretty third-man-up team. I mean, they're not benefiting, I don't think. I mean, their work's done around the ground. That's where they're scoring. I mean, if Brody Grundy stopped getting possessions and tackles, his scoring would fall off a cliff. He was rated 15th per game for hit-outs.
There you go.
So I mean, that's not particularly great for mine. I mean, what are your thoughts on that statement? So I mean, it's a pretty interesting situation.
I don't think it hurts any ruckman. It might benefit some more than others.
Yeah, I think it's going to. I mean, we're talking 5 points a game, which that I mean, 5 points. I guess at the end of the year is a pretty significant bump in average. But you talk like for me, your Brody Grundys, your Steph Martins, they're not guys that I'm banking on getting 35 hitouts because they just don't get it on a week-to-week basis. And it's not like Collingwood go third man up.
No, they don't.
So anyway, that's the end of my top tier. Just on an interesting note, Statesman, you probably would have seen my tweet. Johnny, you probably wouldn't have because you're not on Twitter. How many rucks finished in the top five in any week for Dream Team scoring over the course of the season?
Top five?
Yeah, they finished in the top five scorers for the rucks for the week.
Wouldn't have a clue.
Do you want to guess? We've got a list of some top ruckmen here.
Four.
Six.
26.
26.
Different ruckmen finished as a top five ruck.
Wow.
Wow. So
you knew that, don't act. Your acting's terrible. You could be on Neighbours, though.
Thanks, mate.
So on any given week, a ruckman could knock it out of the park.
Well, I was just saying, on a week-to-week basis, anyone can do it. But these guys, they were the top three for doing it on a week-to-week basis.
Consistently.
No one else finished in double digits.
Yep.
They are real difference makers. So I've got no doubt they should be the top three rucks taken off your board in your Dream Team format.
Fair enough.
Number four, I got Steph Martin. 20 games at 89. I think he finished in the top five 8 times. I think he was really hampered. He's in the second tier on his own because
he got knocked the F out early on.
He did, and we know he was carrying the knee injury. I'm pretty confident that he's like Brody Grundy. He'll do his work around the ground. He's not relying on hitouts. I'm a fan of Archie Smith. I guess there's some concern there. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But I'm pretty confident in him. Didn't feel comfortable enough having him in the first tier. Felt a bit better about him than the third tier. So that's kind of why he's on the second on his own. Coming in at five, I got Sam Jacobs, 20 games at 88. Finished the top five 8 times. He's fine. Number six, Kurt Tippett. I'll just breeze through these, actually. So I got 6, Kurt Tippett, 7, Paddy Ryder, 8, Tom Hickey, 9, Shane Mumford, 10, Aaron Sanderlands. Is there anyone you wanted to talk about there?
Why so high on Tippett for your Dream Team format?
I just really like Tippett. I think he's always on the park. I think he's kind of similar to Ryder in a lot of ways, but I feel a little bit safer about him than Ryder, obviously, with the year off. Yep. And we don't know what Port situation's going to be. I know that kind of sounds stupid, and I expect Ryder should be the one out ruck, but Matt Lobey's still got time on his contract.
He's going to enjoy the cycle, though.
Well, he does. I understand that's the thing. This is January. We've already said these lists can change.
Oh, for sure.
They probably will.
And you don't think Naismith's going to have an impact on Tippett's scores at all?
No. I think they'll park. I think Tippett will be the ruck. I think they'll park Naismith Smalled like they tried to do with...
Sinclair.
Sinclair. He's gone.
I have got Naismith on my list just in case Tippett gets injured. I think he's the best of the handcuffs, let's say, in exclamation points. Like Tippett over Mumford and Sanderlands, just because, like, yeah, okay, he might average 6 points less, but he's got the upside to go higher than these other than the other two.
Yep.
Just as a thing there. Okay, so that ends my third tier with Aaron Sanderland. So, as I say, when I'm looking for draft value, I'm trying to build my mids. So I generally try to find the last guy in a tier because I think he provides the most value. Patrick Wright is an interesting one because I have him seventh on the list, and I kind of like him because I think he's got some upside if he is the solo ruck. We've seen him average that
90-ish.
Yeah, that 88, 89 sort of dream team average before. So I really like him, but I'm a little bit worried about where you're going to have to draft him because he does carry that dual position status. Okay, so if forwards are flying off the board early, I think Paddy Ryder might be a guy you just have to, unless you really want him, you might have to draft him in front of, say, a Tippett because he might just go a bit earlier, depending on how your draft's going, Jono.
Well, that's it. And then you've also got Giles with that ruck forward as well.
Yes, he's not even on my list, so don't worry about that.
Don't worry about him.
So, look, Paddy Ryder, that's an interesting case, and it's going to go on a draft-by-draft basis, and you just have to pay attention to where he's going. I mean, I have him in this tier, so I don't really care if I get him, Hickey, Mumford, Sanderlands. Don't care. They're all the same.
All the same.
For me, but if you think he's going to blow it up, you might just pay attention to where the forwards are going because he is listed as a forward. Okay, so the fourth tier, I've got Jared Witts at number 11. Play the two games for a sparkling 54.
Solid.
I think he's going to be the top dog at Gold Coast. So I think there's a bit of upside there with him. Number 12, I've got Big Boy McAvoy from the Hawks. Kind of like him with, obviously we know Segler's got the ACL. Big Boy, he did have a game late in the year when Segler was out, 38 hitouts. We've seen him average pretty well before. He's actually topped the ton in SC twice.
Yep.
And he's averaged high 80s for Dream Team. So I kind of like the upside there. Obviously, Pick Your Nose is still there. So they might continue that. But with Roughhead back, I'm kind of like, well, do they need him forward so much?
And they got Vickery as well.
Yeah, that's so... I suppose Vickery, yeah.
He can pinch hit.
He can pinch
hit. Like they did with Hale and that.
So that's an interesting situation there. But we know Hawks were a bit of a third man up team.
Yes.
So I still think being... Big Boy's got some juice in the tank. I'll put it that way. Number 13, I've got Matt Leuenberger. 20 games at 73 averaged. He did finish in the top five 3 times. I kind of like him in spots.
Bit of a plug and play sort of guy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if I waited on drafts and had no one, he might be a guy I...
And lost that forward status as well. But
yeah, so I mean, he's not attractive to people in their draft. So you're getting in round 22, unless you're playing in a two ruck league.
I think you can pick up Tom Bell Chambers.
Well, I was about to say he has no competition.
And he still has no competition with Tom Bell Chambers.
Well, that was the joke.
Yes.
That's the joke.
That's the joke.
Number 14, I had Sam Naismith. Played 8 games for the 63 average. Man, Callum Sinclair. They've let Nan Curvis go. Callum Sinclair's pus.
Peeling oranges. And
so I think Naismith has a little bit of interest. Obviously, I had Kurt Tippett at 6, but he's not really a guy who's known for his awesome streaks of matches played.
Nah.
So I think he's got some upside. And I think even at the worst case scenario, he'll be on the field as a... forward as a tall forward pocket doing 50-ish 60-ish things, but it's more of an upside player. I mean, there's a lot of handcuffs you could have, Archie Smiths and so forth, or you could just have one of those committee rucks, but I think you can also stream them all off
the waiver.
So unless you're in a two ruck league, I think Sam Naismith's fine on your bench. At number 15, I had Toby Nankervis, the aforementioned, played the 6 games for 68, obviously gone to Richmond. Maybe he's a number one ruck, but Richmond's let Ty Vickery go. They've got Sean Hampson, who's pretty good tap ruckman. So I don't know.
But again, his durability as well.
Well, his durability is pathetic. So Nankervis could get a go there.
No love for Big Ivan. He's still on the list. One more year.
Yeah, I remember when you were pumping the Will Minton
train
ties at the start of last year. How'd that go?
I think he played two games for the whole year.
Yeah. And I've also got just a little bit of a note. Monitor Lysette, if fit. Just seeing where he's at. He's walking at training. So he's upright. He's vertical.
Well, Nick Natanui was attempting to run last week.
That looked horrible. So, I don't want any part of that. No. But I'm just saying, you know, if Lysette can get himself fit, he'd slot in to the third tier somewhere. Any debates there, guys?
Not really. Pretty much exactly the same. Just a few positional changes with mine. I had Gorn number one, Goldie number two, Steph number three, Grundy number four. Source
Grundy, down on Grundy. Just people hate you, Jono. Yeah, why do you hate Brody Grundy?
Because if I don't like Essendon, I'm not going to like Collingwood. No favouritism here. Why? So.
How can you hate him?
I don't hate Grundy. But I just think Steph bounces back to have a better year next year, even if Archie Smith is there.
He averaged 95 super coach. He's only in his fourth season, mate. He's going to crack the ton for the first time. Fifth year, breakout, Ruckman.
Brody Grundy's a better version of Steph Martin with less competition.
That's all right. I've just got Grundy at four.
If that's less...
That's Dream Team.
That's
Dream
true.
Team. This is Dream Team.
Yeah, well, this is Dream Team. What's going on?
Yeah. We'll get to my list in a sec.
You're on...
Anyway, Source number five, Mummy number six, Ryder seven, Tippett eight, Sandy nine, Hickey 10, Nankervis 11, Big Boy 12, Witts 13, Louis 14, Naismith 15.
Do you know how many kicks Shane Mumford averages a game?
Not many.
Two.
Is that on his opposition or the actual football?
No, that's his actual. My God. It's like 2 to 9. That was his average last year of possessions. 2 kicks to 9 handballs.
That's how I like it.
Not many goals coming out of those 2 kicks a game, I don't think.
No.
That's right. Old style rucking.
That's it.
Statesman, what do you think?
I don't disagree with your guys' selection. Obviously, my list is going to be a fair bit different because we're talking about long-term commitment. There are a few there that you guys have on the list that, quite seriously, I wouldn't consider if I was starting a keeper from scratch. But I'm not against what you had. I'm a little bit shocked that Brody Grundy is so far down the list in Supercoach.
That's
probably the reason why we've...
We haven't got to Supercoach yet.
Jono
was giving his Dream Team picks.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That makes
a lot more sense, Jono getting things wrong in Dream Team.
There you go. Because it made no sense. It made more sense in Supercoach.
No, not the
yes,
way
it did.
Oh, you're not going to like my Supercoach list. All right, starting off with my super coach top 15. I've got Max Gorn number one, Todd Goldstein number two, by far and away best two ruckmen in the competition. We've seen Toddy go 130 a couple of years ago. We know he had that injuries this year. Third man up's gone. Goldie's fit. He's banging everything in sight. He's
bang.
Oh yeah, got to keep it clean.
Double entendres there, people.
So there you're 1-2 by far and away. Number three, I've got Brody Grundy to keep you happy, Steve. Steph Martin, number four. Sam Jacobs, five. I know you only average 86 in Supercoach, but if you looked at Sam Jacobs' history in Supercoach, he will have 2 or 3 good years, drop down to an 80, a couple of good years. So I see him bouncing back there.
Oh, that's a good way to project.
Oh, yeah.
The every other year theory.
Every other year theory.
What is the issue there with Sam Jacobs? Is it just fitness, luck? Is it roles have changed a little bit?
I think it's because Adelaide's defenders all just kick the ball over Sam Jacobs standing in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, they like to play the wing and use those link-up players like your Atkins and Laird's and all that. So they just, yeah, between the arcs, just kick it over as far as they can. Just long kicking.
So it is more a game style rather than his role as a ruck.
He doesn't find the ball.
Sorry?
Fair
enough. He doesn't find the ball.
Shane Mumford, number six, played 21 games last year. He's Roy Lobb's playing that key forward or defender, so not spending as much time in the ruck, which
we're spending no time in the ruck. Even when
it was like 2%.
Mumford missed out, they brought in Tom Downey.
That's true. So he's going to hold that spot for another year. Aaron Sanderlands,
has been a super coach rucking scoring phenomenon. Had that serious injury last year. He'll be bouncing back to that close to 102.3 average, I would imagine, because no one's getting a hit out of him. Kurt Tippett at number 8. Before he tore that hamstring, he was on track for a 100 average. He finished with 88 last year, so if he can find a happy medium there at a 95, wouldn't be too disappointed with that. Paddy Ryder, great unknown, at number 9 for me. Ruck forward eligibility, as Steve said, it's play it by ear in your rucks because you don't know what's going to happen with him. Tom Hickey, I found it hard to rank him. I could have gone a bit higher, I could have gone a bit lower, but I found 10.
No, I don't think he has the value in Supercoach that he does in Dream Team.
I was getting to that, yeah. So,
were you?
I was eventually. Yeah. Big boy McAvoy, number 11 for me. Again, as we alluded to, he's gone over 100 in Supercoach before, and if crazy Clarkson does anything, that he'll go the sole ruck option because he likes to mix it up, so we don't know there. Tabernan Curvis, number 12 for me. Sean Hampson will probably step on a mosquito and be out for 6 to 12 weeks. Giles, purely for ruck forward eligibility, and he's... Okay, Vardy's at West Coast, but they ain't playing Vardy at all. It seems that Simpsons likes the one ruck situation. Leuenberger, we've seen him do it before, and Steve said he's got no competition.
At all.
And 15 for me, Tom Nipples. I just think it's... They're going to play the NAB Cup. They might play...
The Just Lindsay Thomas Cup.
They've got 3 games. You're going to see... Probably see Witz Ruck one on his own, Nipples one on his own, and then you're going to see both of them play a game together. And I think that's where Rocket...
Witz. It's all Witz.
But Rocket E does like to play a one ruck game style, so... Hey, at the Western Bulldogs, who was doing the rucking? Minson.
That's true.
And at Sydney, before that?
Jason Ball, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it was Jolly. A one ruck. Jolly. It was one ruck.
I lived
ruck.
On the same street as Jolly for a while.
So it was a one ruck situation there. So Rocket E's old school. He ain't going to change that.
Yeah, that's true.
And like I said, I've got Witz as an unlucky, but again, it's Nichols to lose. And they can certainly change.
It's not Nichols to lose. I reckon it's Witz to lose.
You reckon?
They dropped Nichols late in the year. They've brought in Witz. Apparently Nichols has come back a bit Capricciosa style this year.
I think
they played Curry over him. Curry.
They did.
Curry.
He's not going to get a game.
But he might.
No. Also, Zach Smith, if you're looking for a streamer, be matchup dependent. And with Phillips going down, I know the guys won't agree with me, but I've got Matthew Kruse, even though Gorringe is still on a list somehow. Your thoughts, boys?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably have Ryder in front of Tippett for Supercoach. That's about it. What are your tiers, though? Break me down your tiers.
My tiers would be Goldie, Gorn, 1-2. That's my first tier. Then... probably 3 to 5, 6 to, I can go 9, 10.
See, that's where I disagree. I think Sandy's a cutoff for a tier.
You reckon? Oh, sorry, yeah. I could do that. And then, what is it, 8 to 10? I'm shrugging my shoulders here. And then you throw a blanket over the rest.
Yeah, there's a lot of same-sames.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Statesman, on this new whiz-bang game that is Supercoach?
No, I still can't believe the comments you made about Brody Grundy and Dream Team, mate, to be quite honest with you. No, I don't disagree with anything you said, actually.
Statesman, who have you got for your keeper rankings? Mind you, listeners, this is going to be vastly different to what Steve and I have put out because keepers is for the long-term future.
Yes, and I will make a point to all the listeners that I've been working on a bit of a database system, a bit of a formula to work through the best way to select people in keeper leagues. And this has been probably about 14 months in the making, but I've drilled it out with all the information for all 4 lists. So we're going to start with the ruck, and I'll quickly explain. Obviously, the keeper competition, you want to make a selection for someone that's going to be long-term successful point scorer for you. So this is based on Dream Team scoring, and it's based for Keeper League if we were starting a Keeper League from scratch. So one of the most important things is their age, and this is where I become an ageist. And I think we, in draft format, we get sucked into the salary cap hype. So, for example, Dyson Heppel is probably going to be one of the most selected players in salary cap this year because he's got a reduction because he missed 12 months of football. So, therefore, Dyson Heppel could potentially in the draft end up going late first round, early second round, because the hype is in that Dyson Heppel is a must-have this year. Just using that as an example. I sort of go the other way, and I think a conversation that we've had both on the pod and through Twitter regarding Isaac Smith is a classic example of it, where there is a strong potential that in Dream Team scoring, Isaac Smith is going to be in the top six or possibly top eight scorers. And in my information here, I still rate him reasonably high when we're talking starting at a keeper league. But because I'm looking at that age 28 and also looking at the fact that he's only going to be a forward for 1 year, in other words, he's more like a 50 to 60 rank midfielder rather than a top 10 forward, my views on Isaac Smith are different right throughout all the different formats because I'm basing my thoughts on keeper league rather than on salary cap. Does that make sense, guys?
Absolutely. Sounded like backpedaling to me, but eh. No, but we do have these chats. No, but we do have these chats, and it's important. Look, we've got a lot of new listeners.
We do.
So we've got to, you know, and a lot,
break it down.
But what Statesman also said is something we touch on all the time. There's a lot of players in fantasy football who are getting salary cap hype.
Yes.
Because that is the main type of article. And it's completely different for us drafters.
Yes.
Completely different.
And then so, different again to keepers.
So they're two completely valid points.
Yes.
And no. and my passion is the keeper, so I'm always thinking of list management. So the way that this formula works is first and foremost age. So the older they get, the more penalties you get. Then you work on the last 2 years' average, so you actually see a trend of scoring. Then you also compute the games they've played in the last 2 years, which obviously handicaps anyone that's developing or just starting their career. But then you also have a peak column. In other words, Christian Petrarca, for example, averaged, I think it was high 60s or early 70s, but he's quite capable of getting to the 90 to 95 scorer. So he would get an addition into the where his peak scoring will get to. And then the most important, which is what I rate extremely highly, is your points per minute. Now, I think that's hugely important as showing potential. And I think last week we talked about Lockie Neal and everyone getting scared about Nat Fyfe. And because Nat Fyfe was out, his scoring increased. Well, no, it was actually game time. His points per minute didn't change. He went from being a mid-70s game time to an early 80s% game time. That was his increase. Now, it doesn't matter who else is in the team. As long as Lockie Neal's getting midfield time, he's going to score that. So I think points per minute is hugely important. And then that gives you a ranking. So this formula, what it doesn't take into account is your own gut feel. So there'll be players that come out in this ranking that might end up at selection number six, and when my turn comes and five onwards hasn't, or five and after haven't been picked up, I might be picking up number eight because that's my gut feel, which is, I think, in the tips and tricks point, is never lose your gut feel. So going through my list, and this might surprise people, number one is Jono's number four in Dream Team, being Mr. Brody Grundy, is your number one in keeper. Now, I will say him and Max Gawn are very, very close, but the reality is Brody is 3 years younger. He's average the same in 2015 and only 6 points behind him in 2016. He's played five more games. He's probably got more movement in reaching his peak, and points per minute are reasonably similar, but the age gets him across the line. So a Max Gawn's probably going to give you another 4 or 5 years, where Brody Grundy could possibly be giving you 8 years of quality football as your number one ruckman.
What about next year when there's a different coach at Collingwood and Brody Grundy's in a two-ruck situation?
Yeah, no, exactly right. And sorry, I should have made the point that that's the two things, your gut feel and also team structure, club structure. or role change. If Lachie Neale ends up being a back pocketer, then, you know, you're one of your top three midfielders for your keeper leagues, all of a sudden, you know, a mid-range defender. But that's one thing you can't control, and that's why you need to go through the data. What we do know is Brodie's not going to stop being a ruckman, and I think what he's actually shown is that he's a quality number one ruckman that likes having the game time in the ruck. So being number one is always going to be his bag. Does that make sense?
Oh, no doubt. He does his best work around the ground. Yeah.
Now, if we go to who the top three are, so Max Gawn's number two and Todd Goldstein's number three, and they're the top tier. So you've got a 22-year-old, 25, and a 28-year-old. So obviously the age gives the weighting to Brodie, Max, and then Goldstein. But if we look at their first 4 years of playing, so Goldstein, 36 average, 50, 74, 99. Max Gawn, 56, 61, 58, and 91. Grundy, 70, 60, 91, and 101. So he is tracking well ahead of those other boys as well. So there's no doubt that on that system that you're actually most likely going to get the best return from Brodie Grundy.
Where would you actually rate him in a keeper league? I mean, this is a question I'm interested in because we're about to kick off in a dynasty. I'm imagining I'm
top 10.
I've got Brodie Grundy pretty highly on my rankings because I think he's going to be a difference maker for
a long time.
Where would you take him if you were starting up a keeper league?
Well, it's funny. Here's one I prepared before. So I've done it with the whole list. So all the four lists combining together. Of course, do my research. But Brodie Grundy is actually, on the rankings point, is actually sitting 12th in front of Marcus Bontempelli.
Okay, interesting.
Max Gawn at 17 and Todd Goldstein at number 19.
That's interesting. I could imagine wanting to take him in the top 10, as Jono said.
It's quite possible he will.
Yeah, and that's your gut feel, and that's how important you feel your number one ruckman should be.
Yeah, that's
so. In the second tier, I've got Steph Martin and Sam Jacobs. Yes, Steph's got some great scoring potential, but he's 30 years of age, and really he's only delivered a season and a half so far. So, how much is that going, or how long is that going to go, and how much is he going to achieve? And I will give one warning to everyone. If I ask you two boys this question, what have these clubs got in common? West Coast, Western Bulldog, Carlton, and GWS.
Ex Hawthorn.
All irrelevant. Not going to win the flag this year.
Well, when you're the reigning champion.
Yeah, yes. They're coached by Hawthorn ex-assistant coaches. Now, one thing you know from those is they don't rate ruckman very, very highly. West Coast have probably got lucked in. They've got two high-quality young rucks in Nick Natten, 26, and Scott Lysett at 24. But the reality is they're playing a shared role. Western Bulldogs play two non-ruck ruckmen, if that makes sense. Carlton share the ruck.
Well, GWS and don't really exactly share the ruck.
Well, they actually do. You actually look at how much time actually Mumford spends in the ruck. It's not like your 70% that your Todd Goldstein or your Max Gawn are actually getting. They actually do share that forward ruck role. Western Bulldogs do that. West Coast do that. Carlton do that now. And of course, guess who's gone to Brisbane? Well, it's an ex-Hawthorn assistant coach. So the concern's got to be, is it going to be structure or is it going to be what's best for that player? So my concern is that Steph Martin will follow what they did for a period of time last year. I hope it's not the case because in salary cap version, I'll be picking Steph Martin if he's won out. But I'm just concerned that that's been the trend for the Hawthorn assistant coaches following Clarko's model, that rucks really aren't important. And guess who were the two clubs leading the third man up? It was Hawthorn and Western Bulldogs. Again, the same theory. That's what they love.
Yeah, because their ruckmen were like 6'3".
Bontempelli was taller than them.
Because they don't rate ruckmen.
Well, if GWS...
Well, Tommy Campbell was playing before he got injured.
If GWS have got such a shared role, why is it that Rory Lobb
lost
lost ruck status?
Well, that's a good question. I'll go through the stats. I won't do it while we're live on air, but I'll go through the stats and give you a report back next week, just because they do share it. And now you've got the focus on Rory Lobb. Yeah, he played 22 games. Oh, apologies. The only three that they considered ruck were Downey, Mumford, and Rory Lobb. So it what I'll do is I'll work through champion data just to find out how much time he actually spent in the ruck.
We'll get back to that.
But that's what you'll actually... They've followed that philosophy pretty strong, so it's certainly a concern for Brisbane and Steph Martin scoring. Six, so the next phase is actually starting Nick Nat. Now, Nick Nat would actually be higher being a 26-year-old and good scoring, but obviously we know he's out for the season. So even though these rankings say he's six, obviously he's going to get picked quite late if you're starting a keeper league this year. So he's actually a bargain when you're talking. You're going to get five really good years out of Nick Nat. The next is Kurt Tippett, Patrick Ryder, Shane Mumford, so all those around the 30 mark. Matty Cruiser, Scott Lysette, which I reckon is a huge bargain, only being 24 years of age. You'll be able to get him almost pick 200 because he's out for the first 12 weeks. Tom Nichols, but remember this is the rankings. Jared Witt didn't come in because he hasn't played many games and his average was 50s this year for Collingwood, only playing the two games. But he's in 17th. I think Jared Witt's be the one that climbs up the charts. Ben McAvoy, who obviously again has been hampered with the move to Hawthorn, 90 scorer when he was at St Kilda, comes into the new system, plays a shared role. Be interesting to see what happens with him this year with Segler out, of whether they keep the structure and put in, is it Pinot?
Pinot
into that role. Yep, Pinot. Should know that, shouldn't I? Nankervis is next. Tom Hickey, who has potential but just hasn't delivered it yet. That's why he's so low. Zach Smith, Jared Witts, Louis, and last that makes this list, and I won't be even considering drafting in a keeper, is Aaron Sandy Lance.
I reckon I'll get Sandy in our dynasty startup. Trade him to the Statesman for 12 months. For Bond. Isaac Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen. You should be able to pick up Sandy Lance at pick 399 in the dynasty draft.
Rock that. Someone will get him earlier. Rock 398. He's going to average 88.
And he can score 55 for his two games that he plays.
88. But with someone like a Sanderlands, if you're doing a dynasty, could you say you get Sanderlands at pick 200, could you get the, I wouldn't say Zach Clark or Hanneth, but the next up-and-coming ruckman from Fremantle and just stick him on the bench there?
Absolutely. Handcuffing's hugely important. See, I would think that if you pick up Sanderlands at pick 200, why don't you pick up Nick Nat at pick 220? Because Sanderlands will probably do the job for you this year. Let's hope and pray for Sandy's sake he gets through the year. But I dare say this is his last one. And if Sandy does it right for you and scores 80 to 85, then you've got Nick Nat coming back the next year. You've got a top 5-6 ruckman.
Yep. What about Steph Martin? All right, let's talk in a keeper league setting where you're only keeping 10 out of your 22. Because this is an interesting one to me. Would you draft Archie Smith and just stack him on your bench, or would you pick him up, say, because obviously waivers only clear on, say, Wednesday in most leagues. You just pick him up as a free agency before the weekend, just in case something happens to Steph Martin.
Quite possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Really smart move. And when you're talking the Gold Coast thing, having those two boys, it'll both be drafted really late, is actually a smart move.
Yeah.
So you got them both no matter what happens. But your opinion of Archie is reasonably strong. I still need to see a little bit more. But Steph being 30, he's not going to be in Brisbane for more than 2 or 3 years, you would think. So having the understudy, the person that's going to take over the number one mantle after, which is a really smart move and a keeper.
It's not. It's that's fair enough, but it's not my opinion of him. But when you've played four games as a ruckman and you've knocked out an 88 and a 96,
absolutely,
that piques my interest.
And that was with Steph Martin on the field too.
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Hickey took his third year to get something like that.
So would you handcuff Matthew Lundberg with Tom Bell Chambers, Stacey?
Sorry, did someone say something?
Actually, we lost the feed there for a second.
Me and Mrs. Fizz had a Tasmanian Pinot last night. It was a bit light on flavour. Not like your Mornington Peninsula, your real Pinots.
The Dramana, I'll give a plug, your Dramana Estate.
Your real Pinots, you're kidding.
Statesman's allegedly doing some guest appearances on some other shows. I think we might just lose him.
Could do.
We might just trade him for Sandy. So he's got some more.
And Archie Smith.
Do we have some questions, though, Stace?
Here's one I reckon you'll get as an absolute bargain, gents. I reckon on a dynasty, people should be looking at picking up Billy Longer as well, because
is he still on the list?
He get a crack at St Kilda this year. He's on the market and will become a number one ruckman the following year.
Well, the rumour was they were shopping him last year, and I was sort of pumped him up a few times last year, but it just never happened for him.
No.
So that's an interesting one to watch.
I forgot all about Billy Longer.
Hey, you could do worse than picking him with pick 390.
Absolutely.
I believe you've got some questions there, Statesman.
Oh, yes. I better call them up. So we have a couple. The first one was from Statesman 33 is, why did you have Grundy at number four, Jono?
Gut feel. I just like Steph better for one more year.
Gut feel.
That's terrible, man.
And we also got one from Reese Ando at Reese Ando, and his question was, Suns going to play Witts and Nichols? If not, who gets the number one gig, Steve?
I think I've got Witts in front, and I don't think they'll both play. The reason being that I don't think either of them are any good forward, and when you look at Gold Coast's forward line, it's pretty tall already. They really don't need to roll one of those guys out there. I'm not...
2 metre Peter.
Well, they've got Peter.
Handsome Tom.
They've got Handsome Tom.
Day.
They've got Day. They don't need more height. I don't think Tom Nichols particularly long for the Suns, just in my...
It's the JLT for me. Just sit back and watch, and I think you'll see it there.
That's the correct answer, but if I was drafting before the JLT, I'm personally on top of Jared Witts.
I'm all about Dan Carter.
Yeah, and I'm the same. And you've got to wonder, they targeted him. He's left because he wasn't given the right opportunities at Collingwood. I think he's shown in his time in Collingwood that when he is given the opportunity, he can be not only a good scorer but also a good player. I think I remember a press conference where Nathan Buckley sort of said he's doing 90 to 95% right. It's just the little things that need to get fixed. And going into his sixth season, a 209-centimetre ruckman that can score well, I think he's going to be given the first shot. It's his to lose.
Just remember this about Jared Witts. We just saw what a fantastic season Brody Grundy had. They preferred Witts at the start of the year.
They did.
Correct.
Is that all we got, Statesman, or you got one more?
No, that will be it. The first one never got answered.
And it will never be answered.
It's a flimsy answer at best.
Do you have any questions, Steve?
Yeah, why do you have Brody Grundy at four? Dream team. What's going on?
Freaking hate Collingwood.
Apparently.
No questions?
I don't have any questions.
No? All right, that wraps up the show for this week. We've got a couple of spots left for the Listener League.
One spot.
One spot.
I think we should run a competition.
Competition for... Well, we've been running a competition for spots in the Little League.
Yeah, but a different competition.
Different competition. One spot left. So we'll come up with something for that last spot in the coming days. And then what do we got next week? We've got Defender Rankings next week. So be pretty interesting there. I believe Steve... I'm just going to read Steve's mind right now. It looks like... what's his name? Simpson's going to be number one for him, I reckon.
Sharonberg.
Burgoyne.
Sharon Goat.
Sharon Berg, hey, Simpson, Burgoyne. That's Steve's top three right now.
Sharon Burgoyne.
Oh, God. He's old and injury prone. What a winner.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. Head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or shoot us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Steve, I don't know about you, but I'm dying in the studio here. And
it's not great. It was all right at the start.
Yeah. And then I guess we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, I just want to, because we're hot and sweating right here, I work outside and it started to heat up. You're a big fan of The Third Man, Jono?
Third Man?
Yeah, the comedy albums about cricket.
Oh, The Twelfth Man.
Twelfth Man, sorry.
Yes.
Third Man. Yeah. Do you remember the old scrotometer joke?
I do.
Summer's hit, people.
I work
outside.
Yeah. I work in a nice hot factory and I'm having flashbacks to what work is like today.
Third Man. That's how much I know about cricket. I don't even know bloody albums.
Third Man's a spot where you hit it down to Third Man.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.